irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community. So that word is hard to say, by the way. Community. So no one feels alone in their grief. Stop laughing, dude. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have Terrell Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
And the other guy. Yeah, you're the other guy today. You're not the oldest brother. Is Mr. Taj Jackson.
Hello.
So, we...
I have to say, great show last week. I missed it, but I wasn't here.
Yeah, you're on the phone
with Yashi and Prince.
That was a good show.
I wasn't here. I was listening.
I didn't even know you were listening, and then I got a phone call.
I'm always watching you guys.
You're always making sure.
No, it was a really good show, and I saw Yashi at Genevieve's party.
Yeah.
And we spoke a little bit about the show.
She was good.
Yeah, she was excellent.
She was scared she was talking too much, but I think she did well.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, so let's do our disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives and have been impacted by it and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. We are all going through things. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. Mm. Okay. So we are live, obviously, as in right now. If you're hearing us, this is what's going on, and you just heard it. Maybe you did not, but there's laughter in the halls. That's not us laughing. But we are here live on the Power of Love Radio Show, and if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later in the show, we're going to open up the phone lines, right?
Yeah. Where are we doing this? This radio show from? Because I don't think people know. They might think we're doing it from home or something.
Okay, first of all, you've been in the music industry for 30-something years.
What are you doing?
Do you know what I'm about to say to him?
Yeah.
Oh, get closer to the mic?
Yeah, why are you 3 feet from the microphone? Can you answer that?
Hello.
People want to hear you.
Turn my mic up then.
Why do you ask where we're doing it?
Because I think people want a picture of, like, you know...
In their mental?
Yeah. I could, you know, there's people walking down the halls laughing. I would want to know where you are.
You would want to know the city I'm in?
I don't know if people think we're actually in a building.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're worried that they're thinking we're in your closet or something.
Like my place.
So we're at LA Talk Radio. But then, all right, we're at LA Talk Radio, which is a building.
Yes.
And we're on the fourth floor. I don't know why you got me describing
Describe exactly where we're at. We don't want a drone.
But no, it's a radio station.
It's
a radio station. So we're in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
We're enjoying ourselves. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
You mentioned we're going to open up the phone lines. as always, we have Twitter available.
Yeah.
So we want you to tweet. Any questions or any comments you have? Our handle is Taj.
No, you say it.
No, it's Taj's thing.
For Twitter, it's at DDJ Foundation. Want me to do Facebook too?
Sure,
Facebook
Taj.
Is DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
Okay, and the one thing I think that we don't talk enough about or we don't plug enough is there's an organization, a nonprofit organization called the Association for Death Education and Counseling. It's an international professional organization dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in death education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and a lot more. Mm. If you feel that you need some information on you know, the process of death and counseling through it, check them out. That's www.adec.org. I think one thing for anyone who knows us, we're the reason why we're doing this show, the foundation is built on helping people. That's our priority. That's our goal, is to help people. There's many ways to help, and one of our mission statements as a foundation is to try to get the dialogue going for grief and loss and overcoming and turning that into something positive for you. And I think my brothers would agree that the best way to do that is to communicate and to kind of open the conversation. That's with everything, actually. So that's what we're doing. And we're not going to just plug D.D. Jackson Foundation, any organization that we think can benefit you if you're going through loss and grief, we are going to mention. Mm-hmm. We are here every Wednesday from 1 to 2. And we're going to give the call-in number because, like I said, we're going to take phone calls today. We promised to do it last week, but Yashi was on a roll, and I think it was such a strong show. We only took one phone call.
A special phone call.
And that was with a pre-warning from Tarot. But if you have a story, we're going to ask you to still stay on topic. It's very important. Please don't ask what Tarot's favorite color is. So let's just stay on topic. The phone number is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. And a couple of weeks ago, we did a show on the word forgiveness, forgive, and the importance of forgiveness. So I thought, what's another word that's important in overcoming loss and dealing with grief? And should I just say the word? Or, you know what, instead of giving a quote and you guys guessing the word, I'm going to give a definition.
Okay.
It's a noun. It can also be a verb, but in this case, it's a noun. And the definition is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Do you guys know what the word is?
A feeling of trust.
You're adding that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah? Okay. A feeling of expectation is a desire for a certain thing to happen.
It's you read number one. I'm reading number two.
Oh, you did the same type of research.
Right. TJ, come on. I have eyes on you.
And you too. You need to get your mic closer to you as
No,
well.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
It could also be a verb, it says.
Yeah, I mentioned that. So does anyone know what that is?
I know what it is.
Obviously. I know you know. Taj?
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So instead of taking callers or guests, whatever, to decide, the word is hope. And hope is such an important word. I think it's sometimes, I don't want to say misused, but it can be give kind of like a vague meaning of what I think is the most important definition of hope. And I think hope is key when you're dealing with loss.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there's some people that guessed hope before.
Before I even said it?
Yeah, before you even said it.
We have some smart listeners. Yeah. I'm going to give a quote where this was a great quote. And tell me what you guys think about this. Hope never abandons you, you abandon it. By George Weinberg.
I like that.
So mm-hmm. I think what I liked about that quote was it basically says hope is there. You have to stay strong and kind of believe it's there and find it and not let it go. Because whenever I deal with loss, whenever someone deals with loss, I think sometimes the first thing, I shouldn't say the first thing, but one thing that gets tested is your hope, your belief that everything's going to be okay, that you're going to get through it. And that is key, that you do not abandon that hope, that, mm-hmm. that feeling. Any significant loss I've had in my life, it's been hope that's pulled me through. And it's not just hope. I think it's important to say hope can come from other people. It can come from a book. It can come from a song. It can come from a quote. It can come from many different things, any type of inspiration, I think. And I just think it's very important that we locate that catalyst for hope.
excuse me.
You need water.
No, I'm okay.
I wasn't getting it anyway.
No, we usually have water. Are you
slipping?
Yeah,
me slipping.
Fine. We don't have a guest, so you don't get water?
What I was going to say about hope is it can definitely be tested. During difficult times, how you think, how you feel, your goals, your desires. It's important to have a strong family, a strong friends around you, because it does get tested. And it goes, I think, through transformations. When people go through hard times, that's obviously where you feel tested. You know, a big change in your life, death, sickness, illness, career change, anything like that. You get tested with your hope, and you have to have the support system there for you.
Yeah. I have a story.
You have a story?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Real life experience, since...
Yeah,
I'll be the first to lead it off, and then if we have some listeners that have stories as well.
Do we know this story?
I don't know if you do. My timing, like years, you know, they all seem like they flow together. So it might, if I say 2 years, it might be five. just give me an idea. When were we in Italy?
3 years ago.
No way.
Why am I looking
had
at you?
Had to be more than that.
Definitely no, it wasn't more.
It was, had to it was be. More than that.
Was it?
Yeah. Anyway,
maybe not.
I was going through a rough patch before we went to Italy and did our shows in Italy. And I was looking for anything to kind of connect with. I just felt like there's no place for, I don't even want to say 3T, it's just I was listening to the radio and nothing was connecting with me. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I was like, is this the industry that I want to be in? Because it's like nothing I connect with on, they're not saying anything important. And going to Italy and doing those shows with, I think the organization is called Sharing Love, mm-hmm. you know, the two mm-hmm. girls from Romania. And that was an eye-opening experience for me. And I'm saying that because I had lost hope in not only my career, but just kind of like I was in a bad place. Mm-hmm. And I saw them, and they were raising money to build a school in Africa. Mm-hmm. And it re-energized me. I said, I have a voice.
What was it about it? The fact that you had a voice?
The fact that they were so young. They were 13 and I think 13, 12 or 13, 14 at the time. And
they had a lot of energy.
They had a lot of energy. And it was their slideshow. They were showing a slideshow before they sung. And it was them in Africa, you know, with the kids and all that stuff. And I was like, look at me complaining, mm-hmm. and, you know, typical American, complaining. and it's like, you know, I have a foundation, not foundation, but I have a fan base. I have ways of getting out there and getting my message across. And I'm complaining about not being heard. And I said, you know, it gave me a purpose. And the purpose was to use music for good, you know, and that was the thing. And it really changed my life around, and those two girls really influenced me in that way. And that was, you don't know who's going to influence you,
yeah.
but that Italy, I mean, we all have different experiences of Italy, mm-hmm. you know, not all good, but that for me was like the spark to say, no, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. And it kind of reminded me of what Uncle Michael used to say about, you know, give back and, you know, mm-hmm. and use what your gift for good. And so it completely changed my viewpoint, and you know, I'm so grateful to them still today. You know, two girls from Romania.
I think that's cool. Thanks for sharing. Because I think when you're in that down moment, that lost spirit, I think maybe if we can try, I've never thought of it like this, but maybe if you could try to find a way to help others, it kind of gives you a sense of, I don't want to say just purpose, but it kind of revitalizes yourself and gives yourself a good sense of value. I think that's kind of, in short, what you were saying. I didn't need to take 3 minutes to do it. But
hey,
but you needed the story. I like
yeah,
it, Taj.
I had to build the foundation.
Taj, I appreciate your story.
I needed
your 3 minutes.
but it was. I think that was the important thing about it, you know, about the story in general, is just that, you know, you don't know where that's going to come from, that hope, you know, mm-hmm. and you don't know who it's going to come from. And, you know, that was the thing. They were fans of us. That's why they, you know, wanted us to be part of their show. But in a sense, you know, I got more out of it than they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job. One more quote before we open up phone lines. Again, we're opening up phone lines today. The phone number, if you want to tell a story on hope, on how hope helped you, on what you're dealing with, where you're needing hope, If you're having trouble finding hope, give us a call. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Here's another quote. When you get into a tight place and everything goes against you, till it seems as though you could not hang on a minute longer, never give up. For that is just the place and time that the tide will turn. That is by Harriet Beecher Stowe. And I think that sums up hope and what's needed. Because life is going to deal you a card. You may be going through it now. It may be next week. It may be next year. It may be 5 years. But you're going to get a card that's going to test you. And you have to stay strong and rise above it.
Yeah, you definitely... I think everybody that lives this life gets to a place where they kind of lose themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you need that support system. You need something,
mm-hmm.
because you lose yourself and you get lost. And you get lost and you start doubting. You start mm-hmm. questioning yourself. You don't know where you're headed. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you've been. And you need something that spark that kind of lines it all back for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start making the right choices and decisions, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not always easy. But we all need that. And it's important as people to be there for others. Cause sometimes you need to be that person, you know, just like with Taj, those girls were the spark for Taj to find himself, getting back on that right track.
So, Taj, you just revealed something about yourself, and I was thinking while Tara was talking, what was a moment of hope or where hope was needed for myself, and it brought me to this. After Mom passed, obviously I felt lost a lot of hope. I didn't care about a lot of things, and I tried to kind of rebound, and I did okay. I didn't fall off, you know, too much. And again, I think that's because of family, mm-hmm. everyone's role, from pops to grandma to Uncle Michael to you guys. But something was still not complete for me. And although I'm not going to recommend what I did, for me it was the right thing. And that was when I had Royal.
Mm-hmm.
That was my source of hope. Why are you laughing during my touching, important story?
Because I remember asking you how Royal was earlier today.
How he was doing? Yeah, he's growing up, man. Scary. Yeah. But Royal, I remember that because I think any new parent is going to be excited to be a parent. But for Royal, I felt like it was kind of one of those things where he helped me, you know, more than I can help him, and it gave my life purpose. And I think I've talked to many new fathers and mothers, and I think any new parent, when they have their first child, it's like I always say, it's like going from black and white to seeing in color.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was like turning the TV off to going to turning the TV color TV on. And for me, it was Royal that gave me that purpose. And I don't even think it's funny, because I don't even think he really gets that or understands or could comprehend it. He hasn't had to deal with a major loss yet. But I just thought I'd share what my probably biggest source of hope was.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, children are amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's just that love that they give back. Because unconditional, you know. And I often, myself, when I go through hard times, I often lay next to Bryce and Adrian, and they don't really understand and know what's going on all the time. They always just want to play or just have fun, and they remind me all the time the importance in the simple things in life, you know. And their children in general, they're just filled with love, and sometimes that's all you need to get you through that difficult time.
True. As a father, is there ever... Okay, obviously, all kids have struggles and they're learning how to navigate through life. When... take yourself back to a situation where one of your boys is down, or whether they lost the game, or, you know, something as simple as that. What do you tell them, or how do you handle that?
Oh, When they like, well, a game?
Anything.
They lose game or strikeout or something?
Yeah.
It depends on the situation, you know. They're still very young. They're 5-8. Adrian's actually good right now. There's no score. Well, at this age, they don't really keep score, so there's no winning or losing. But mm-hmm. the kids kind of know if they win or lose. Mm-hmm. Bryce is he reminds me so much of Taj.
He's blessed.
No. He has that thing where he's hard on himself. Uh-huh. Where if he strikes out, he'll have an attitude. He'll throw his helmet. So much of Taj, the way he looks, the way he plays, interacts, and he does take things hard. He's competitive.
Because baseball is a tough sport.
It is,
and you can strike out two times and need to maintain your hope to mm-hmm. get that game-winning hit at the end. So what are you doing? What are you doing as a father to try to keep that going?
You know, it's not always easy to coach your child because I'm the head coach. Mm-hmm. So I've heard and I've talked to other coaches. It's not always easy to coach your child because they always look at you at dad. They think maybe you're being extra hard on them. And I try as hard as I can to be fair to everyone. But, of course, he's my son, and I want him to do his best always. I don't have high expectations. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's been times where he hasn't succeeded the way he has wanted to, maybe in that at-bat, you know.
Right.
And I have to remind him. It's just you have to let it go. And the next one, you got to, you know, try better. Try harder. You know, it doesn't always turn out the way you want it to, you know. And I've had stories. I don't like sharing them all the time because I failed in baseball. You know, I've had the home run hit off of me that cost us the 12-year-old All-Stars. Sorry, Ryan and Justin and everyone, but but you know, it happens, and it builds you up for those moments to get by next time.
So as a kid, without talking about, you know, losing a parent or mm-hmm. dealing with a divorce or something major, what was it that got you past something as simple as giving up a huge home run at that time the biggest game of your life?
Was it
friends that got you past it?
You know,
it?
So it's interesting because when you're young, looking back now, there were so many things that happened to me where I thought it was the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was breaking up with a girlfriend mm-hmm. in 11th grade, or, you know, losing a baseball game. Those are hard moments then, but you look back and you laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
But they also define who you are now a little bit.
What gave you hope to not, or did you just sulk in it for a long period of time? Was there someone that said something to you that said it's going to be okay?
Yeah, of course.
Was there any...
Well, there's always that keep your head up. You did well. Next, get them next year. You're great, Tiger. All that stuff, you know. And you don't want to hear that at the time.
Yeah.
But I remember the 12-year-olds. I remember them crying. I was 11, and they were 12. But our pitchers, the 12-year-old pitchers, they didn't want to pitch, or their arms were hurt, or something else. So I had to come in. But I was 11, so I still had an extra year. But they took it hard, and I felt really bad for that, you know?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
And I have it on video, too, which is awful.
Was it a deep home run?
It was. I think it was a first and third. I think it was a 3-run home run.
Jeez.
Yeah. But you know what? I wasn't calling the pitches.
Yeah.
So you blame
it.
I don't blame it.
You didn't have me as a catcher, so
I wasn't calling the pitches back then, so it's questionable.
Without getting too specific, if you have a friend that just lost a parent or a family member uh-huh. who just lost a parent or loved one, what do you guys tell them?
I just had a friend that lost her husband, and I think it's more of just being there for them, you know. And
what does that mean?
What is being there? It means physically being there for them, like not just, you know, saying. Of course, you can say the things like, you know, I'm always here for you and all that stuff, but I think you actually have to make that effort, because the hardest times that I remember is when everyone leaves, you know, after the funeral or whatever. You know, everyone's there for the funeral mm-hmm. and support and whatever, but what about a week later? What about 2 weeks later? And, you know, I'm not going to divulge the name, but mm-hmm. you know, her mom gave me a big hug and said, you know, don't let my daughter be alone, you know, and because she knew we had a lot of friends in the, you know.
So let me just understand this. Your friend lost their father?
Lost her husband.
Gotcha.
And the thing was, is I saw a lot of myself in that because she was being strong for the family. She was like the rock, you know, trying to be, she has four other kids, so, you know, and four little kids, and she was trying to be strong, you know, and I saw that. But, you know, for me, it's about connecting and being there, you know, when everyone else is not, or everyone else is going on their merry way, and they don't even notice that they're doing that, but just being there for her. And, you know, and, yeah, I told her I promised her that I would, and I will be, because, you know, she's a dear friend of mine, and, you know, just being there is one of the most important.
Physically
just
being
showing
there.
Up, literally, yeah. is the most important thing.
So let's try to get three good steps for hope. So just being there would be one, right? Would you agree with that?
For hope?
Yeah. Because we all agree that hope is an important component to rebuilding and letting someone, or getting someone over the dealing with loss and grief.
So I would say support more than, because the thing is, it's very hard to have hope when it's by yourself, you know. You're your worst enemy sometimes, and that's the thing. It wasn't until I was around other people and they were giving me inspiration that I got my hope, you know. That was the thing. If I was still at home or whatever, I probably would have felt the same way. It was just going out there and seeing other people and feeling their energy that made me feel hopeful. You know, and I think that's the same thing with my friend, is that if she's alone, she's probably going to be very sad. But if she's around other people that are building her up, or, you know, making her feel good, then that's going to, you know, give her hope.
So support.
Support.
I just like being there because that means two different things.
Yeah.
Support could be a phone call.
Yeah.
Or true. A text. Being there means being there.
Yeah.
And there's a difference to me.
Yeah.
So I think being there is, because what you described in your story was the physical act of people leaving.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll give you that.
They could call, say, I'm going to call you in a bit.
Yeah.
No, I think when you go through a change like that, when you lose somebody, you lose yourself as well. You don't know how to feel. You don't know how to think. Your whole world's just changed. It's altered. And I think important thing is being there, like you said, and support. You know, it goes hand in hand. Because, like I said, your world is altered. It's changed. And you're not stable. Your mind is thinking things, I can't do this, I can do that. You go up and down, and you need some kind of consistency. You need some kind of support, some kind of friend or family, somebody being by your side to get you through that, you know?
What about moving on? What's the best way you encourage someone to move on?
When you say move on, what do you mean move on, like?
Not like forget about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but like, I knew that's what you meant, yeah. But you have to, yeah. I always just say keep, you know, it's memories. It's just keep those memories alive and do things in honor of them, you know, is what I've told a couple of friends that have lost, you know, loved ones recently, is, you know, do something that, you know, would make them proud, and also keep their memories or legacy alive. Like, you know, what you would, because now we're in the holidays, it's like, what would you do at that point with them in the holidays? You know, keep that going in a way. Don't sulk in it. And it's easier said than done. But I know with Mom, like, every New Year's was so important to her, you know. And it was interesting to me. Like, it was weird, because it was more important to her at times than Christmas was, you know. And I didn't know that, but she made such a big deal about New Year's. And then there's this one New Year's that I was with some Buckley friends, and I wasn't going to make the countdown. And I could see the disappointment in her face. And it was literally down the street. You know where we used to live, the Delgado area. And it was at the near our P.O. box. Is it the Hilt?
Yeah.
Radisson now, right? Or whatever.
Holiday Inn.
It was there.
It's the Radisson now, I think.
It's, you know, whatever. But it was there. And it was like a bunch of Buckley people were doing, you know. And, you know, she trusted me and everything to go out, you know, and celebrate it with them. And something told me, I was like, you know, this is more important to my mom. And I actually drove back before, you know, and made the countdown, like literally as you guys were, you guys don't remember this, but as you guys were counting it down, and Mom was so happy, and I'll never forget. That was a great memory to me, but it just reminded me, like, that was so important to her, I guess, starting the new year. And it's a tradition that I, like, for me, I feel like
New Year's is
a big thing for me because of that reason. I know it's not to you guys, but
no,
it is to
no,
me, as we, you know, but it is. It's like that hope of starting anew. And so, you know, that's where I got it from.
Joe, did you?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that story either. That.
Yeah.
So you think maybe component number two should be have great memories and make them proud, kind of thing?
Keep the memories alive.
Keep the memories alive.
Yeah, and whether that's making them proud in terms of, you know, a lot of the things I've said is what did they want you to do, or what would make them happy, and then just keep doing that, you know, in a way, because that's the hard thing is you losing that hope, and you start thinking that the world's ending, and that's the thing. And I think keeping their memory or legacy alive, it gives you kind of comfort in a way.
There's a quote I want to read.
Right.
From someone online on Twitter. I'm doing your job because you obviously...
I'm doing it too, but I'm talking. I'm in the guest seat right now.
It's from Toria. Am I saying that right? Toria?
Are you looking at me?
I don't know. And it's... you know what? Let's retweet it now. But it says, no matter how bad things get, something good is out there just over the horizon. And I think that's really a strong quote, because... you have to have that faith. You have to have that belief that everything's going to be okay and everything's going to get better. And I challenge is probably the wrong word, but I hope you who are listening are inspired to be that source for someone who's going through something. And going back to what Taj said, by giving, you often find happiness and self-fulfillment in yourself. So be that source of hope, that source of inspiration, and that support, and inspire someone to do well and overcome.
That's a good point. It is, because you do get a lot of joy from giving as well.
Mm-hmm. Another hope quote. I know I said this.
You got some quotes today, too.
I do, man. I love quotes. I told you a couple weeks ago, quotes are my thing.
You follow the quotes, though?
No. I mean, I should say no, but not as much as I wish I could.
Yeah,
and I haven't had time to read, because there's so many great books on these topics that I want to read, or at least they look like there are, that I have not been able to read. So it's like quotes is the best thing I can get to it.
Do you have a favorite quote?
Do I have a favorite quote?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if it really pertains to this topic.
But you do have one and you do remember it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very simple, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the other quote that I thought was great is by Lin Yutang. Not Pootie Tang. but Lin Yutang. Hope is like a road in the country. There was never a road, but when many people walk on it, the road comes into existence. Taj, I thought I would get a better response from you. Did you hear my quote?
No. I was doing my job.
I know you
looking
were.
Looking at tweets.
Hope is like a road in the country. There was never a road, but when many people walk on it, the road comes into existence.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah.
Why
do you think I would like that?
Because you like those that are pretty short, that are have a meaning,
yes,
that kind of have a double meaning.
Yes.
And that are profound.
Plus, Taj likes his own road.
I do. You know, it's not that I like my own road. I like to... I don't know how to say this. I don't like following other people's road, but at the same time, when it comes to support and hope, I do like the more the merrier. Like, I would want, you know, that's when I like groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that is when I like groups. I don't like groups when it's just follow the leader, you know, just follow what's in and all that stuff. But when it comes to love and hope and support, then I think groups are... what keeps it, you know, powerful and strong.
Terrell, give us a story on hope.
On hope?
Yeah, from your life.
I had a story, but it's similar to yours, so I'm not going to use that one. I could use us.
Yeah. Okay.
I can use us, so that way we could all speak about it.
I always feel like he gets out of his personal.
Why? That's
reveals.
Great. This is personal. This is me, my group.
Yeah, but I always
Everyone
feel
got their own path.
I feel like he always gets out of a personal tarot story.
That's not true.
I mean, you did tell the baseball.
Yeah, we
one,
told but, baseball. Yeah. We did, but we could talk about us with the music.
Okay,
you know, because we've had goals and dreams and we've had success with it, and then there's been challenging times with us and. It's maintaining that hope. There's been times where at least one of us has doubted, mm-hmm. you know, the road of where we're going. And especially with this industry, it is difficult. There's been things out of our control, but it goes back to having that support system, having hope, and staying course and just get back on your feet and keep moving. And then when Taj was talking about the loss, one thing I noticed, and it happened last time when I went to mom's site, I just very clearly I remember feeling a certain way, but you look outside, like even now you look outside, there's cars driving, there's people talking, walking, and life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, there's just something in that for me that
movement?
It just, it feels, it, I don't even know how to describe that feeling. It's, you're so lost. You're so lost. You're so, you just lost, or you're going back reflecting on, for me, it was mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just thinking about mom and I was in a place of loss and I was so sad. Yet, you look around you, there's people playing soccer, there's people laughing, there's, the life still goes on and it's so, I don't know the word for it, but it's just, It's so the contrast is so strange to me, you know.
So
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, we got you. It's we don't even have much longer on today's podcast, today's show.
Oh, that
so
one.
Yeah, but I promised phone calls, so we answered our first phone call. Who do we have on the phone?
Oh my gosh, I wanted to make sure I called in since no one else was calling in, but it's Gigi Taylor. I hope I'm not bothering again.
You are not
bothering. Never bothering.
Come on. How are you, Gigi?
Oh my goodness.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, thank you.
Good.
So, I'll say about this hope thing. So, I lost my health in 2007. I have numerous medical conditions and diseases. And I just had my 17th major surgery this past September 30th. And I was in hospital 5 days. So I'm at home still in post-op status. And I guess I lost my hope in life and all of those things. But then I kind of have hope in my doctors and their promises. I believe that there is hope in people's promises. You know, I promise I'm not going to give up on you. I promise that we're going to find a cure. I promise that we're here for you. We love you and we really do care. So speaking of my doctors. So my hope was lost, but then found again with my doctor's promises to help me. And so I hope that's kind of relevant.
Yeah, no, it's very relevant.
Very relevant.
Then, you know, I appreciate you, Gigi, first of all, for calling, but to share about doctors because, you know, sometimes I think they don't get enough credit. And mm-hmm. Gigi, you have a personal experience where a doctor has helped you because it's like everything. I don't think, not everything, but I think most things, I don't think people can really, people need that support, that strength, that belief to accomplish things. Here's my question to you, Gigi. I don't know, or to Taj and Terrell, to anyone. What about those instances when doctors give a pretty negative outlook on things, and you have to find that hope, or you know, has that happened to you at all, Gigi, or has your doctors always been a very positive source for you?
Okay, so that's a good question to me because, again, this is my 17th surgical procedure since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So without getting into too much detail, but I just have a disease. One of the medical conditions I have, or diseases, that I have tumors that grow. The last three of them have been the size of a football inside of my abdomen that compress all of my organs. Wow. Now, we don't want those to be cancerous, and they have been benign. So for me, because I'm a Christian, I give all thanks and glory to God through Jesus, because I don't want cancer. Mm-hmm. But I have had doctors say, there's nothing we can do for you. We can't even surgically remove these anymore. This is not literally this type of language, but in the big word language, and the just basically saying,
how do you
there's
stay
nothing
strong?
There's nothing we can do for you. You're going to end up maybe dying.
Yeah.
And so with that, taking that and answering your question, is for me, I had to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And just, I have gotten a second opinion, and now I'm with a wonderful oncologist to help me.
Yeah.
And that's who's given me hope. Did that answer it? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm kind of rambling a little bit.
First of all, thank you, Gigi, for the phone call. We're going to try to answer a couple more, but...
I have a question.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah, I think also, it's important to see that there's people that probably were in your situation that did overcome it. You know, I think there's always those stories. It's like, you want to focus on the people that didn't make it or whatever, but, you know, there's those people that didn't give up and that did believe. And I think that's, you know, what you should be focused on, because I do believe.
And that's what I'm saying. As far as my doctors, that certain doctor, I had to ignore that and say, there are people that have overcome. And so that's what I'm saying. And so I just had to find another doctor that would have.
Yeah.
Help me, and you know what I'm saying, and have
Gigi,
not give up on me.
That's not easy to do, because, you know, and thanks, Gigi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy to do, because if you're not a doctor, you're kind of giving them the power, in a sense, you're trusting them to know more about the situation than yourself. So sometimes you got to find a different source of hope. And were you going to say something?
No, I have a weird philosophy. I'll say it real quick. But I feel like the body is designed to heal itself. And, you know, sometimes it's our mind, you know, or hearing stuff from other people that
gets in the way.
That gets in the way of that. And that's why what I would say is just, you know, never stop believing that you know that it can go away or that can be cured, because I've heard those stories, and I know people where those stories have been true.
And to add to that, I think if you're in a profession or in a position, and it just doesn't need to be doctors, it could be teachers, it could be coaches, it could be parents, you have to respect the power of your word and your body language and what you give to others, because some people hang on to what you're giving them, and if you're not careful, you're going to give them the opposite of hope.
Yeah.
So let's take one more phone call. Who do we have on the phone today? Hello?
Sequoia.
How are you, Sequoia?
Fine.
You have a story of hope you want to share with us?
Yes. It happened 2 years ago. I was feeling really down and depressed. I wasn't happy where I was. I was in school and not happy with my classes. And I just wanted to drop out and just stay home and didn't want to be bothered with anybody. But I was taking a yoga class, and my instructor told us to dedicate our session to someone who inspires us. Then imagine ourselves doing a position that we found difficult for us. And I had dedicated to my grandmother because she was always encouraging. And ever since then, I dedicated everything to her. And like last year, she had passed, but at first, I wanted to take massage therapy, but I thought I couldn't because of my eczema. But I thought about my grandmother and hearing her encouraging words, and now I'm in school for it, and I'm happy with it.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. Sequoia, thank you so much. And Taj, I always feel like you're about to say something.
No, I'm thankful for them sharing their story, because I know it's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. And, you know, And that's the thing, but it is so inspirational to other people and, you know, and to us. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage, and it is. It's very, you know, I'm just so thankful that, you know, I'm thankful to your grandma for inspiring you to, you know, to do that, to make that leap.
Mm-hmm.
It's in some way, I guess it's support, you know, even though her grandmother has passed, it's feeling that she's still there with you, still there supporting you. Because I do that often with Mom and even Uncle Michael, where I don't want to give up because I feel this is for them, yeah. You know. I'm going to, you know, Mom put so much time and work with us, and same with Uncle Michael, that I want to keep moving forward. I won't settle, mm-hmm. you know. So I can relate to that story, mm-hmm. you know, just having that system there and the memories. It goes back to what Todd was saying, building off of the memories and going forward with that.
Sequoia, thank you so much for the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sequoia.
I when she was telling the story, like you, Tara, I was thinking about Mom and, you know, just that's a strong source of hope,
mm-hmm.
you know, and was a strong source of hope, is to make her proud. And even today, it's, you know, her and Uncle Mike, but for the living person, it is Pops and grandma. You know, I see grandma all the time. So for me, it's seeing her, you know, and she's a fountain of love, of course, but also a fountain of hope.
Yeah.
You know, she's, no matter what kind of problems you may have or what you're going through, she's very calm, cool, collected, and just gives off this positivity and this optimistic strength, you know. And
you said the word positivity. I think that is key with hope, you know, is that because hope can't exist without positivity. And I hate to say it, but I think sometimes, you know, people around you can be very negative, you know, and they can kind of, you can sulk in that sorrow, you know, mm-hmm. with the people around you. And sometimes, I'm not saying drop your friends or drop your family, but you might have to separate yourself.
Shield
yourself for that time being and build yourself up and build your hope up, you know, because they could be your worst enemy at a time just because they're sulking in their own thing. And so, you know, that is, you have to recognize that as well.
I think it all goes back to love, you know, hope. Just hearing that story and just me thinking about Mom and Uncle Michael, it's about love, you know, having that support system, having that love, knowing that somebody was there for you and still is in some, you know, they're still with us. And it goes back to the power of love. Nothing's impossible with love on your side.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's pretty much it, you guys. We're right at the minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was
a quick show
hope is one of my favorite words, too, by the way. I think I've said that before. Maybe.
You haven't said it.
You know, hope and faith are my two favorite words just because of the meaning of them.
And to close on the word hope, it's something that you have to hold on to. You can't let it abandon. I closed my computer, so I can't re-say my.
You want another quote?
No, the first quote I gave. Do you guys remember?
I have no idea.
Come on, you guys not listening?
I just can't remember the first quote. Can you remember?
It was hope never abandons you. You abandon hope. So basically, is it right?
Yeah,
that sounded right? So basically, hope is there. You have to find your source of hope. You have to locate it. If someone is negative talking you, or you're not finding that inspiration, don't give up. Find your inspiration. Find your source of hope, because hope is the most important thing that's going to rebuild your life and get you past your suffering, your loss, and your grief. Find your source of hope. It could be a book. It could be a song. I think in most cases it's a person, but find your source of hope.
And another thing, know that your friends may not be as strong in moments, and it's important for you to be that hope for your friends sometimes, and to remind them that they can get back on their feet and get back on with life, goals, and all those other things.
If Todd, you want to do I didn't really time this well. I'm sorry. So yeah, we're not going to go through the handles, but yeah. we will give the website. You know, we're from the D.D. Jackson Foundation. The website is www.ddjf.org. And if you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, please make sure you go to our website. We are here every Wednesday from 1 to 2. And if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to DDJF and support the foundation, because any donation amount helps us support those who are in need. Again, in closing, the word of the day was hope. Never lose it. That's the thing. Find it. Find your source of hope.
We hope to see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.